You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. So the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old.
Now, at Heroes each week, we take some time to look at the Bible together. And if this is your first time here at Trinity, then we do that here at church every week. We take God's word, the Bible, really seriously. And we're working our way through the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament. And in the book of Acts, we see how the good news of Jesus begins to spread all around the world. And we'll see, and we'll begin to see today, how the messengers of Jesus, the apostles and his followers, those who share his good news, they are not always popular. We're going to see part of that today. But before we do that, I need two people who are willing to be blindfolded. Look at that. You don't even know what for. That's amazing. I was going to say to test some chocolate. So, Maisie, do you want to come up? Well done. Matt, you can come up too. That's fine. Come on up. Here we go. So we've got a grown-up and we've got a... not quite grown up. Come this way, Maisie. Well done. So I'm going to put this blindfold on you. Maisie, you're not quite in Heroes yet, are you? Are you looking forward to coming next year? Great. She said yes, I promise. Excellent. There we go. Can you see anything? Good. All right, Matt. I know, a nice teddy bear one for you. Good. Right. Now then. You're going to have to trust me here because you can't touch the thing. I'm just open your mouth. I'm going to put one in. Ready? Okay, one for you, and open your mouth. Lovely, there we go. Right, have a think. What kind of chocolate is that? You can whisper it in my ear, Maisie. Do you know what it is? Hard, isn't it? Not sure. No, that's okay. That's all right. Matt?
Is it a Smartie?
Is it a Smartie? You might not be able to see because I'll probably spill him, but was it a Smartie? It is a Smartie. You have indeed had a free Smartie. There we go. You can take the blindfolds off. Well done. Congratulations. Do you want to take two more?
Oh, thanks.
Look at that. Happy days.
Oh,
he's going to guess the colour of the Smartie. Wow, you've got two purple ones there. Great. Now, this morning's sermon has got nothing to do with Smarties and chocolate, apart from, can anybody remember, what was the old Smarties kind of slogan that they used to advertise? Yes, Katie. Yes, only Smarties have the answer. Could I just be up on the screen, Nigel? Thanks, matey. Yeah, only Smarties have the answer. Do you remember that? Only Smarties have the answer. Well, today we're going to see today how only Jesus brings salvation. It's a little bit similar. It's a little bit tenuous of a link between Smarties and what we're doing today. But it's a little bit of fun, okay? Only Jesus brings salvation. That's what we're going to find out from Acts chapter 4. As we learn more about the follow-up to Peter healing this crippled beggar, it's going to become clear that only Jesus brings salvation. So let's pray as we look at God's word and let's ask for his help. Loving Father, thank you for all you have done for us and for all of your love and kindness to us. Thank you for your word, the Bible, and please help us as we think about it today to understand it and to put into practice what it says, that we might live for you each day. Amen. Now, you might think that it's a little bit crazy for me to stand up here and say that only Jesus brings salvation. Because you could say, well, that's a bit of an arrogant claim, isn't it? How can you be confident or bold enough to make such a claim about someone who lived 2,000 years ago? You might be thinking, I don't like hearing such exclusive statements. How can you make such claims? And in a way, that's just like the accusation that was being made in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. In verses 1 to 7. Because look at what the priests and the captain of the guard, who's basically the next in line to the high priest in the temple, and the Sadducees, look what these people say in verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They too were like, what are you doing, Peter and John? You are claiming the resurrection of the dead in the name of Jesus. That is a bold and outrageous claim to make. And they were thinking, we don't like it. You are making things difficult. You're making us look stupid, and we want you to stop. So they arrest Peter and John, and because it's late, they're left in prison overnight, aren't they? The next day, Peter and John are brought to trial. But did you notice who's there? Look in verse 5. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Lots of important people were there. One of them was Caiaphas. He was there when Jesus was tried and crucified. And this trial probably took place in the same kind of place. So this must have been scary for Peter and John. They must have been wondering, oh, are we going to be crucified too? So look at the end of verse 7. These people who are speaking to Peter and John, they ask this question, by what power or what name did you do this? Now, they already knew the answer, because it's not like Peter would perform this miracle in private. They're not even questioning whether the guy was healed or not. They know it happened. But they want to hear from Peter how he did it. So Peter answers them in verse 8. Have a look on your sheets. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Peter answers them clearly. It's by the name of Jesus we do these things. The Jesus, which if you remember, as he speaks to those in the trial, you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Then we see, don't we, how Peter quotes from the Old Testament, where he uses a picture of a building, where he says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. In other words, the most important stone in the building. Why? Because only Jesus brings salvation. Look again at verse 12. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, these are big claims of the Christian faith, that only Jesus is the way to salvation, to being saved. But to being saved from what? From being saved from the punishment that all of the things we've done wrong deserves. It's being saved from God's just judgment and punishment for everything that we've done wrong. That's why we had a confession earlier when we acknowledged that we are in need of forgiveness. That's why it says, this is actually verse 19, not verse 22. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come. You see, the healing of the crippled man, which Peter and John have now got in trouble for, is a really clear picture of the salvation that is on offer in the name of Jesus. Okay, because the crippled man, here he is, let's put him there. The crippled man, do you remember where he was lying in chapter 3? He was just outside of the temple. He couldn't go into the temple area or the temple courts because he was classed as being unclean, which meant because he couldn't get into the temple, he had no access to God. Sorry if you can't see that at the back. Crippled man was unclean, and so he had no access to God. This story is a picture of the salvation that Jesus offers us because when Jesus healed the man through Peter, the man was then made clean. And where did he go, jumping and leaping and walking and praising God? He went straight into the temple because now that he was clean, he had access to God. The Christian claim is that only salvation is found in Jesus because it's only Jesus who deals with our sin and makes us forgiven. You see, just like the crippled man was cleaned by being healed so that he could have access to God, it's the same with us. The salvation that Jesus brings is that he forgives sinners so that we can be forgiven sinners, be clean, and have access to God. This is the great news of the Christian faith. And the thing is, we can't take sin away. We can't take our sin away by trying harder or by being more religious or by being a nicer person or by doing more good things because they don't deal with our heart problem. And that's what we've been thinking about in our evening services in Mark's gospel. That's why it's true that only Jesus brings salvation. So what happens next in Acts 4? Well, the council who were questioning Peter and John, they were in a real quandary. They didn't know what to do. On the one hand, they got this really outstanding miracle that had been performed that everyone in Jerusalem knew about, so they couldn't deny it. It tells us in verse 16. But then on the other hand, they couldn't stand Peter and John talking more about Jesus. And they wanted them to stop and not to spread this anymore amongst the people. We see that in verse 17. So what could they do? Well, all they could think of was to tell them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, in that powerful name which had healed the cripple. Peter and John heard the people's command not to speak anymore about Jesus. But they knew that the right thing was to continue to tell people the good news about him. So look down at verse 19. It says, "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.' They knew the right thing to do in this case was to disobey the authorities and to continue to talk about Jesus." And interestingly, this is a reality that many Christians around the world still face today. So, from that outline there, can anyone tell what country that is? I know it's a hard job. Adam. Wow, yes, Adam, North Korea. Well done. That is North Korea. Okay, if you speak about Jesus in North Korea, you will be arrested and you will be put in a concentration camp. So there are people in concentration camps today in North Korea while we're sitting here because they've spoken about Jesus. Adam, do you know this one? Go on. What? It is China. Yes. Similarly, there are Christians in China arrested and in prison for speaking about Jesus. Now, Adam's getting a monopoly on this one, but... You want to know that one? Go on. Oh, it's not Iran. Good try. This is Afghanistan. Oh, well, you're not going to say that one, though. Okay, that's fine. Afghanistan, another country where you're not allowed to speak about Jesus and where imprisonment will face you. Go on. It is Somalia. That's outstanding. Great. Wow, you should come again, Adam. That's great. He's here every week, so that's excellent. Yes, Somalia, another African country, or an African country, rather. You may be able to tell by the straight borders, where it's really serious. It's really hard to speak for Jesus publicly. So just showing you those things, that people still face similar things today. But friends, we see here in Acts the big claim that only Jesus brings salvation. And I don't know if you notice, this is all based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what we're told in Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Friends, this is the key thing about Christianity, okay? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he can't bring salvation. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, then he does bring salvation, and you need to put your trust in him. We've got some resources on the table at the back that help you to think more about the resurrection and its plausibility and its truth. So do take one, excuse me, on the way out at the back. But what about you? You have the same choice as those council members who questioned Peter and John. You see, you can either ignore Jesus, you can push him to the back of your mind and ignore him, try to blank him out completely from your consciousness, or you can turn to him in repentance and faith, just like the crippled man did, that you might know that refreshing that he experienced and the joy of having your sins forgiven. So can I ask, how do you feel about only Jesus bringing salvation? Do you believe it? Yes. Great. Nice one, Gus. Are you convinced by it? Do you have questions about it? Can I encourage you to keep coming along to church, to keep coming along to Heroes, to find out more, and to take seriously these really big claims of the Christian faith? And can I encourage you to put your trust in Jesus, even today? There's a choice for each of us, to ignore him or to bow down and follow him. For those of us who do believe that only Jesus brings salvation, are you like Peter and John? They couldn't help but speak what God has done for them. Are you like that? Are you regularly sharing what God is doing in your life? At least do that with your Christian brothers and sisters as a minimum. But we need to be passionate and clear about sharing our faith with those who don't yet know Jesus. Peter and John were passionate about doing that, even in the face of persecution. And we must be willing to do so too. Now, to help you remember that only Jesus brings salvation, there is a tube of Smarties for the kids and the younger people, and there may even be some for the adults at the back, which says, "Only Jesus brings salvation," on the way out. So they're on the table at the back. So do help yourself to those at the end. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, thank you that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Thank you that though we can't fix our problem of our sin ourselves, thank you that when we turn to you, you wash us clean and we have full access to you. Help us to trust those things for ourselves and to live for them each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our final song picks up these theme from Psalm 118.